and welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Tuesday, March 22nd, and we had 9 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Charlotte, the Hornets defeated the Pelicans 106-103. In Cleveland, the Lakers beat the Cavaliers 131-120. In Detroit, the Trailblazers beat the Pistons 119-115. In Philadelphia, the 76ers defeated the Heat 113-106. In Brooklyn, the Nets beat the Jazz 114-106. In Chicago, the Bulls defeated the Raptors 113-99. In Houston, the Rockets beat the Wizards 115-97. In Oklahoma City, the Celtics beat the Thunder 132-123. And finally, in Dallas, the Mavericks just edged past the Timberwolves 110-108. So we will break down all 9 of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we're at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Charlotte, where the Hornets defeated the Pelicans 106-103. This was their 5th straight victory, and they were led in this game by LaMelo Ball. He had 17 points and 9 assists. And then they also got 17 from Terry Rozier and 16 points from Miles Bridges. Whereas the Pelicans were led by CJ McCollum, he had 27 points on 10 of 19 shooting. And then they got 24 and 18 from Jonas Valanciunas and 14 points off the bench from Najee Marshall. But unfortunately for the Pelicans, the rest of the squad was not nearly as effective as those three. Valanciunas, McCollum, and Marshall off the bench were the only three players on the roster to score in double digits. Jackson Hayes was 3 of 8 from the field. Devontae Graham was 1 of 8 from the field. The rookie Herb Jones was 1 of 5. And so there was some poor shooting for the Pelicans. And as a team, they were 44% from the field, 37% from 3. That's not bad. But the Hornets were 50% from the field. And then they were 35% from 3. Now, to be fair, the Pelicans did have the edge on the boards. They out-rebounded the Hornets 47-35, thanks in large part to Valanciunas' 18 rebounds. But nonetheless, that big shooting disparity in terms of field goal percentage overall just could not be overcome for the Pelicans. And this was also a very sloppy game from both teams. There was 32 combined turnovers between the two of them, so they were just very sloppy with the ball handling. And as a result, the game was pretty close throughout. Neither team ever held a double-digit lead. And it was actually the Pelicans who had a slight advantage at the end of the third, beginning of the fourth. In fact, it was about a 7-point game midway through the fourth quarter, so it looked like the Pelicans were going to be able to hold on and get this victory in Charlotte. But their offense totally stagnated midway through the fourth quarter. They just could not buy a bucket for like several minutes. In fact, to be specific, they were stuck at 95 points for 4 minutes straight there in the middle of the fourth quarter. So that little bit of offensive stagnation by the Pelicans allowed the Hornets to not only tie the game up, but take the lead themselves. And then they ultimately just squeaked by in the end and got the victory. And so, like I said, this was their 5th straight win, the Hornets. They now improved to 37-35, so that's still good for 9th in the Eastern Conference, but they're just 1 game behind the Brooklyn Nets, who have also been playing very well recently, and then they're 1.5 games up on the Atlanta Hawks in 10th, and the Hornets are plus 0.4 in the point differential, which is about where they should be in the standings. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pelicans, this loss takes them to 30-42. So they're down in 10th right now in the Western Conference. They are just 1 game behind the LA Lakers in 9th, and then they're 2 games up on the San Antonio Spurs in 11th. And the Pelicans are negative 1.4 in the point differential, which is better than the Lakers ahead of them, but worse than the Spurs below them. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. And according to Shams Charania, a report yesterday indicated that Zion Williamson will probably not be making his return this season, as many people probably would have guessed, but it was basically confirmed that that was the case yesterday. So at the very least, it's good that there's some clarity there so that everybody's on the same page, and they'll still probably make the play-in game. I would guess that they'll lose to the Lakers in the first game and be out of it, but who knows? Maybe they can continue to make some noise. They have been playing quite well even without Zion, so we shall see how it all unfolds from here for New Orleans. But anyways, we can move on now to the box score, and they were led in this game by their recent acquisition, CJ McCollum. He had 27 points in 34 minutes. He was 10 of 19 from the field. He had 3 threes, 6 assists. And then they also got a big double-double from Jonas Valanciunas. He had 24 points and 18 rebounds. He was 11 of 18 from the field, and he had 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks as well. Fantastic production for Valanciunas. And then they also got 9 points from the other big man in the starting lineup, Jackson Hayes. He was 3 of 8 from the field. He had 7 rebounds. 2 points only for Devontae Graham. He was just 1 of 8 from the field, 0 of 5 from beyond the arc. and 5 points for the rookie Herb Jones, and he was 1 of 5 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. But nonetheless, that shooting from Jones and Graham was really detrimental, going a combined 2 of 13 from the field. And then off the bench for the Pelicans, they got 14 points from Najee Marshall in 25 minutes. He was 5 of 9 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds. They also got 9 points from Willie Hernan Gomez, the backup big man. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 7 rebounds. 7 points for the rookie, Jose Alvarado. He was 3 of 8 from the field. 6 for Trey Murphy III, the other rookie. He was 2 of 2 from beyond the arc. And Tyrone Wallace saw the court briefly, but did not score. And as for the Hornets, they were led, as I mentioned, by LaMelo Ball and Terry Rozier, both of whom had 17 points in the starting lineup. Rozier was 3 of 9 from beyond the arc, and he had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And the sophomore, LaMelo Ball, he was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 4 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 blocks. And then they also got 16 points from Miles Bridges in 35 minutes. He was 6 of 13 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. 11 points and 10 rebounds for Mason Plumlee in 24 minutes. He was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 3 assists. And 6 points for PJ Washington, rounding out the starting lineup. He had 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And off the bench for the Hornets, they got 15 points from Isaiah Thomas, their backup point guard, the recent acquisition. They recently extended him throughout the rest of the season. And he had 15 points in this game on 5 of 9 shooting. He had 2 threes and 1 assist. And then they got 12 points from Montrezl Harrell, the backup big man. He was 5 of 9 from the field in 20 minutes. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And then 6 points for Kelly Oubre in 15 minutes. He was 2 of 6 from 3. And 4 points for Cody Martin in 29 minutes. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 points for Jalen McDaniels. All right, next up we can move on to Cleveland, where the Cavaliers were defeated by the LA Lakers, 131-120. The Lakers were led by LeBron James. He was incredible, the 37-year-old. He is just turning back the clock this season. I think it's his highest scoring season since he was on the Cavaliers originally. I think at this point he's gunning for that scoring title. It would be remarkable if he got it at age 37, but he was on fire in this game specifically. He had 38 points on 17 of 29 shooting, and he also had a triple-double, 11 rebounds and 12 assists. And then they also got a double-double from Russell Westbrook, 20 points and 11 assists, and 20 points off the bench from DJ Augustine. He was actually perfect, 7 of 7 from the field. Whereas the Cavaliers were led by Darius Garland, he had a huge double-double, 29 points and 17 assists. And then they also got double-digit scoring from the other 4 starters, as well as Caris LeVert off the bench. Lauri Markkanen had 18 points with 4 three-pointers. But unfortunately for the Cavaliers, they just could not keep up with LeBron, especially in the fourth quarter. They were actually leading in the first quarter. They had outscored the Lakers 35-28, but then in the second, the Lakers quickly closed that gap, and then it was just back and forth throughout the rest of the first half and the third quarter. But then in the fourth, like I said, the Lakers just took over, and they outscored the Cavs 35-23 in that fourth quarter. So dominant stuff for the Lakers down the stretch, and they were very efficient from the field, 56% shooting, and they were 37% from three. Now, the Cavaliers weren't bad at all. They were 52% from the field and 35% from three, but they did have 12 turnovers versus just 8 for LA. So a uncharacteristically efficient and tidy game here for the Lakers. They now improve to 31-41, which is still good for 9th in the Western Conference. They're trying to hold on to, at the very least, home court advantage in the first game of the play-in tournament. They are 1 game up now on the Pelicans in 10th, and 4.5 games behind the Clippers in 8th. So it's basically guaranteed that the Lakers are going to have to win 2 games in the play-in tournament to even make the playoffs at all. But they, like I said, will at the very least have home court advantage in that first game. They have a negative 2.6 point differential, and they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Cavaliers, this loss takes them to 41-31, so the inverse of the Lakers. They're up in 6th in the Eastern Conference. They are 1.5 games behind the Bulls in 5th, and 1 game up on the Raptors in 7th. And the Cavaliers are plus 2.8 in the point differential, which is better than the Bulls ahead of them, as well as the 76ers. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Lakers were led, of course, by LeBron James. He was incredible. 38 points in 41 minutes. He was 17 of 29 from the field. He was 0 of 4 from 3, but he had 11 rebounds, 12 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He was plus 9 in the plus minus. Incredible stuff for LeBron James at this point in his career. The team high in the plus minus was actually Russell Westbrook. A pretty productive game. 20 points in 35 minutes. He was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 2 3-pointers, 4 rebounds, 11 assists, 1 steal, and only 1 turnover. So pretty solid production for Westbrook, all things considered. And he's actually been racking up a little bit more in terms of rebounds and assists recently. I was wondering, over the past couple of months, as he's been struggling so mightily, especially with his efficiency, why doesn't he just gun for those rebounds and assists like he has throughout his career? Because that would, at the very least, be providing some value to the team. But he wasn't. He was racking up single-digit rebounds and assists for quite some time, and that's very uncharacteristic for him. But finally, over his past couple of games, he's had a double-double, a triple-double, so hopefully for his sake, he can get back on track throughout the rest of the season at the very least. And as for the rest of the starters, they got 11 points from the rookie Austin Reeves in 29 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds, 6 assists. 9 points for Winyon Gabriel. He had 6 rebounds, 2 steals. And 4 points for Dwight Howard, rounding out the starting lineup. He only played 12 minutes. He had 5 rebounds in that time. And off the bench for the Lakers, they got 20 points from DJ Augustine, the veteran point guard. In 26 minutes, he was perfect, like I mentioned. 7 of 7 from the field, including 6 of 6 from 3. Incredible shooting, and he did nothing else in the box score. Not a single rebound, assist, steal, block. He did have 2 turnovers. 12 points for Stanley Johnson, and 12 points as well for Malik Monk. Johnson was 5 of 8 from the field, and he had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals. And then they also got 5 points from the veteran Carmelo Anthony. Avery Bradley saw the court briefly, but he didn't score. And as for the Cavaliers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Darius Garland. He was incredible. 29 points in 41 minutes. He was 10 of 23 from the field. He had 2 3-pointers. He was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. And then he also had 17 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 steal. And then they got 18 points from Lauri Markkanen. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 4 threes, 9 rebounds. 16 points for Lamar Stevens. He had 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. He was 8 of 12 from the field. And then they got 13 points from the rookie Evan Mobley in 27 minutes. He was 6 of 11 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And Isaac Okoro, rounding out the starting lineup, he had 12 points in 29 minutes. He was perfect, 4 of 4 from the field. All he took were 3-pointers. And off the bench for the Cavaliers, they got 13 points from Caris LeVert. In 16 minutes, he was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And then they got 8 points from Kevin Love in 20 minutes. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists. 8 points for Jetty Osman in 18 minutes. He was 2 of 7 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. And he was a team low, negative 27 in the plus minus. And then they got 3 points from Moses Brown in 5 minutes. And 3 points as well for Brandon Goodwin. All right, next we can move on to Detroit, where the Pistons were defeated by the Portland Trailblazers, 119-115. The Trailblazers were led by Brandon Williams. He has been a revelation recently. He had 23 points in this game. He was 11 of 11 from the free throw line. And then they also got 17 points from Drew Eubanks and 21 points off the bench from Ben McLemore. Whereas the Pistons were led by Sadiq Bey, he had 25 points in the starting lineup, including 5 3-pointers. And then they also got 25 points from Cade Cunningham, the rookie, back in the lineup. He was really efficient, 10 of 17 from the field, but he had 9 turnovers. And then they got 15 points from Marvin Bagley as well. But this was a really resilient win in the end for the Trailblazers, as they were leading pretty significantly throughout the majority of regulation. They had outscored the Pistons 29-22 in the first quarter, and then 38-30 in the second. So they were leading by double digits at the half, and then they maintained that lead throughout most of the third quarter as well. In fact, the lead was like 20 points midway through the third quarter before Sadiq Bey hit a couple of back-to-back 3-pointers that helped cut into that deficit quite a bit. By the end of the third, they had cut it to within double digits, and then they continued to chip away at the beginning of the fourth, and then they quickly tied the game up. So then it was just back and forth down the stretch. The Trailblazers had completely squandered their lead, but then down the stretch they were clutch, and they were able to hold on and get this victory. There was a layup from Brandon Williams with 47 seconds to go that extended the Trailblazers' lead to 4. It was 116-112 at that point. So a really clutch win here for Portland. Despite the fact that I'm not exactly sure if they're trying to win games at this point, there was recently a report, like the Zion Williamson situation, where he's been ruled out for the rest of the year, while Dame has also been ruled out for the rest of the season. So it seems pretty clear that the Trailblazers are embracing this tank fully, but they still got the win anyways. And overall, it was the turnovers that just killed the Pistons. They had 20. versus just 9 turnovers for the Trailblazers. So that was really a key difference maker in this game, because otherwise the teams were pretty close throughout the box score. So with this win, the Trailblazers now improved to 27-44. So that is good for 12th in the Western Conference. They're only half a game behind the Spurs in 11th, and then they're 3 games up on the Kings in 13th. And the Blazers are -6.8 in the point differential, which is 3rd worst in the Western Conference. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pistons, this loss takes them to 19-53. They're, of course, still in 14th in the Eastern Conference, although they are exactly tied with the Magic below them. Both of those teams are at 19-53. The Pistons are -8.3 in the point differential, which is, in fact, worst in the East. They're on a 2-game losing streak now, and they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Trailblazers were led, as I mentioned, by Brandon Williams, 23 points in 33 minutes. He was 6 of 17 from the field in this game, so not the most efficient overall, but he was 11 of 11 from the free throw line. That really salvaged his efficiency quite a bit, and he had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. And then they also got 17 points from Drew Eubanks, the big man. He was 5 of 8 from the field, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, and he had 8 rebounds, 2 assists. And then they also got 16 points from CJ Ellaby in 25 minutes. He had 2 threes, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and a block. Solid production for Ellaby. And then 13 points for Trendon Watford. He also stuffed the stat sheet. 13 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. And Justice Winslow rounding out the starting lineup. He had 10 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, but he was 3 of 12 from the field. And off the bench for Portland, they got 21 points from Ben McLemore in 31 minutes. He was 7 of 16 from the field. He had 5 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. 8 points for Greg Brown III, the rookie. He was 2 of 2 from the field in 12 minutes. 7 points for Elijah Hughes. 3 for Chris Dunn, although he was 1 of 8 from the field. And just 1 point for the rookie Keon Johnson. He was 0 of 4 from the field. So that shooting from Johnson and Dunn was really brutal. 1 of 12 from the field. And as for the Pistons, they were led, as I mentioned, by Sadiq Bey and Cade Cunningham, both of whom had 25 points. They both took 17 shot attempts, but Cunningham was much more efficient. He was 10 of 17 from the field, whereas Bey was 6 of 17 from the field. But Bey had 5 three-pointers, he was 5 of 13 from beyond the arc, and he was 8 of 8 from the free throw line. So the threes and the free throws salvaging his efficiency. And he had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Cunningham was 10 of 17 from the field. He had 7 assists, 3 rebounds, 4 steals, and a block. So solid production throughout the box score for Cunningham, especially that efficiency. But he had 9 turnovers. That is really brutal. And then they also got 15 points from Marvin Bagley. He was really efficient, 6 of 9 from the field, and he had 9 rebounds, 2 assists. 12 points for Killian Hayes, the sophomore point guard. He was 4 of 11 from the field in 36 minutes, and he had 5 rebounds, 6 assists. And then 8 points for the sophomore big man, Isaiah Stewart. He had 13 rebounds and 2 blocks. And off the bench for Detroit, they got 11 points from Luka Garza, the rookie. He was 2 of 7 from the field in 17 minutes, 7 of 11 from the free throw line. And then they also got 9 points from the sophomore Saben Lee in 19 minutes. And then 5 points for the other two players to see the court, Isaiah Livers and Jamorco Pickett. Although neither of them were very efficient, they went a combined 3 of 14 from the field. All right, next we can move on to Philadelphia, where the 76ers got a really impressive win over the Miami Heat, 113-106. There was no James Harden and no Joel Embiid for Philadelphia, so this looked like a throwaway game, an easy win for Miami, the number one team in the Eastern Conference, but that was not the case. The 76ers, with Paul Millsap and George Niang in the starting lineup, got the victory, and they were led by the sophomore point guard Tyrese Maxey. He had 28 points in 28 minutes. He was incredibly efficient, 9 of 15 from the field. And they also got 20 points off the bench from Shake Milton, and 18 points also off the bench from Furkan Korkmaz. So the role players really stepping up for the 76ers. Whereas the Heat were led by Jimmy Butler, he had 27 points in the starting lineup, and he was very efficient as well. 8 of 15 from the field, 11 of 11 from the free throw line. And then they also got a pretty efficient 22 points from Bam Adebayo and 20 points from Kyle Lowry. So the big three, quote-unquote, for the Heat in the starting lineup, Butler, Adebayo, and Lowry, all scoring at least 20 points, which is not something that has happened very often this season. But in the end, it didn't really matter because off the bench there was some struggles, specifically offensively. Tyler Hero, he went 5 of 15 from the field for just 10 points. And Max Strus was 0 of 5 from the field. He just scored 1 point. But with that being said, it was a really close game throughout. Neither team ever held a double-digit lead. It wasn't until the very end of the fourth quarter when the 76ers started to pull away. In fact, it was actually the Heat who were leading after a, after a Bam Adebayo alley-oop with 5:40 left on the clock in the fourth quarter. It was actually the Heat who were leading by three. It was 97-94, but then Tobias Harris and Furkan Korkmaz hit back-to-back buckets. Korkmaz's three with 4:13 left on the clock gave the 76ers a four-point lead, and then they expanded upon that throughout the rest of the game, and the Heat's offense just kind of stagnated down the stretch. There was another clutch bucket from Tyrese Maxey. He hit a three-pointer with 1 minute left on the clock that extended the lead to 11. It was 112-101. So a clutch finish here in Philadelphia for the role guys for the 76ers with no Embiid and no Harden. Overall, the 76ers were very efficient, 50% from the field and 40% from three, whereas the Heat were just a little bit worse, 47% from the field, 30% from three. And then they were also out-rebounded by the 76ers, 45-34. So in the end, a really encouraging win here for the 76ers, obviously in part due to the guys that they were missing, but also because it puts them past the Milwaukee Bucks in the conference standings. They're now in second in the Eastern Conference, just behind the Miami Heat in first. Now, they are tied with the Bucks in third, but the 76ers have the edge on the tiebreaker. They're both at 44-27, 2.5 games behind the Miami Heat in first, and then they're also just ahead of the Boston Celtics in fourth by a couple of percentage points because they both play two less games. So very tightly contested there at the top of the Eastern Conference. It'll be really interesting to see how it all unfolds down the stretch because these teams are all obviously gunning for the highest seed that they can get. But with that being said, if you get the first or second seed, you might end up having to play the Brooklyn Nets in the first round, which could potentially be a landmine with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving playing so well recently. So like I said, we'll just have to wait and see how it all unfolds. But nonetheless, the 76ers currently find themselves in second. They've got a plus 2.0 point differential, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Heat, with this loss, they now fall to 47-25. So like I said, of course, still at the top of the Eastern Conference, 2.5 games up on Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Boston in second, third, and fourth. The Heat are plus 4.6 in the point differential, though. That is second best in the conference behind just the Celtics. And they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Heat were led, as I mentioned, by Jimmy Butler. He had a very productive game, 27 points in 35 minutes, 8 of 15 from the field, 11 of 11 from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal, just 1 turnover as well. So all things considered, really solid production for Butler. And then they got 22 points from Bam Adebayo. He was also solid, 9 of 14 from the field, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks, and then 20 points for Kyle Lowry. He has really struggled offensively this season, but he was solid in this game, 7 of 13 from the field, including 6 three-pointers on the season. He's just averaging a little under 13 points and 5 rebounds, so this was definitely a step in the right direction for him. He had 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then Duncan Robinson had 6 points. He was 2 of 6 from 3 in 26 minutes. And PJ Tucker, rounding out the starting lineup, had just 2 points in 26 minutes as well. Off the bench for the Heat, they got 14 points from Caleb Martin. In 22 minutes, he was 4 of 6 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3. He had 3 rebounds and 2 steals. He was definitely the best player off the bench for the Heat, as Tyler Hero had 10 points on 5 of 15 shooting in 30 minutes. He has been Mr. Reliable recently, coming off the bench and scoring in bunches for the Heat. As we've talked about before, he's got that Sixth Man of the Year award wrapped up at this point, but the scoring was definitely a struggle for Hero in this game, and hopefully this is just a blip and not really a sign of things to come with the playoffs coming up. And then they also just got 1 point from Max Strus. He was 0 of 5 from the field in 17 minutes. And then Markieff Morris, rounding out the bench, had 4 points in 12 minutes. And as for the 76ers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Tyrese Maxey, really stepping up with no Harden and no Embiid. He had 28 points in 28 minutes. He was 9 of 15 from the field, 7 of 7 from the free throw line, and he also had 3 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 block. Fantastic production from the sophomore. And then they also got 15 points from George Niang, inserted into the starting lineup in 33 minutes. He was 6 of 13 from the field. He had 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. 14 points for Tobias Harris. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 6 assists. 5 for Paul Millsap, also inserted into the starting lineup, the veteran big man. He played 23 minutes and he had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And Matisse Thybulle, rounding out the starting lineup, also had 5 points. He was just 1 of 1 from the field in 16 minutes. And off the bench for the 76ers, they got 20 points from Shake Milton. In 31 minutes, he was 9 of 18 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. One of his better games of the season thus far. And then they also got 18 points from Furkan Korkmaz in 27 minutes. He was 7 of 12 from the field, including 4 three-pointers. He was the team high, plus 13 in the plus-minus. And he also had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. So really fantastic production from those two guys off the bench for the 76ers, Milton and Korkmaz. And then they also got 6 points from Danny Green. He was 2 of 5 from 3 in 18 minutes. And 2 points from DeAndre Jordan. All right, next up we can move on to Brooklyn, where another team jockeying for position in the Eastern Conference playoff picture got an impressive win. The Nets defeating the Jazz 114-106. And they were led by who else but Kevin Durant. He had 37 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists, leading the team in all three categories. That is incredible stuff from Durant. And then they also got 22 points from Bruce Brown. He has been really productive recently. He had 7 rebounds and 5 assists. And then they got 15 points from Nick Claxton. Of course, there was no Kyrie Irving in this game as it was in Brooklyn. Whereas the Jazz were led by Donovan Mitchell. He had 30 points, although he was not super efficient. 9 of 23 from the field. And then they got 18 points from Mike Conley and 19 points off the bench from Jordan Clarkson. But a really impressive second half allowed the Nets to take control of this game. They were pretty much neck and neck with the Jazz throughout the first half, but then at the start of the third quarter, it was a different story. They outscored the Jazz 38-24 in the third, and that pretty much propelled them to a comfortable lead throughout the fourth quarter. In fact, after a three-pointer from Kevin Durant with 6 minutes to go, it was a 21-point advantage for the Nets. It was 108-87. So it looked like the Nets were just going to cruise to victory, but they did allow the Jazz to cut into that deficit a little bit. Their offense kind of just stagnated at the very end of the fourth quarter. It was almost garbage time, but the Jazz forced the Nets to contend down the stretch. They did cut it to within double digits, so it was almost a close game. But the Nets were ultimately able to re-extend that lead and get the win in the end. And they shot pretty efficiently overall, the Nets. They were 54% from the field and 36% from three, whereas the Jazz were 44% from the field and 35% from three. So it was really that shooting from the field, especially the mid-range, that allowed them to dominate that third quarter. And so with this win, the Nets now improved to 38-34. So they are doing their best to make their way up the conference standings. They're still 2 games behind the Toronto Raptors in 7th. The Nets are in 8th, and then they're 1 game up on the surging Hornets in 9th. So if the Nets hadn't been playing as well as they have recently, they're 6-4 in their last 10, they could have been surpassed by the Charlotte Hornets, but they're just holding them off, and then they're both making a run at that 7th seed with the Toronto Raptors. So we'll see how it all unfolds down there at the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff picture as well. Down the stretch here at the end of the season, the Nets do have a plus 0.3 point differential, and they're on a 2-game winning streak. And as for the Jazz, this loss takes them to 45-27. So they're still in 4th in the Western Conference. They are 2.5 games behind the Golden State Warriors in 3rd, and they're just 1 game up on the Dallas Mavericks in 5th. And the Jazz are plus 6.6 in the point differential. That is second best in the Western Conference. In fact, it's second best in the entire NBA. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Jazz were led, of course, by Donovan Mitchell. He had 30 points in 36 minutes, but he wasn't super efficient from the field, 9 of 23 and 5 of 15 from 3, but he was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, but he also had 6 turnovers. So all in all, not the best game for Donovan Mitchell, despite scoring 30 points. And then they did get 18 points from Mike Conley, his partner in the backcourt. He was 7 of 12 from the field, so much more efficient. He had 3 threes, 2 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals, although he was negative 19 in the plus-minus, which was the team low. They also got 11 points from Rudy Gobert. He was 4 of 5 from the field, but he just had 4 rebounds, 1 assist. 2 points for the other two starters, Juancho Hernangómez in 16 minutes, and Royce O'Neal was 0 of 4 from the field in 32 minutes. He did have 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks, though. And then off the bench for the Jazz, they got 19 points from Jordan Clarkson in 37 minutes. He was 7 of 19 from the field. He had 4 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 3 steals. 9 points for Rudy Gay in 18 minutes. He was 4 of 5 from the field. 6 points for the backup big man, Hassan Whiteside. He was perfect, 2 of 2 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds. And then 5 points as well for the rookie, Jared Butler. And 4 points for Trent Forrest. He was 1 of 6 from the field. And as for the Brooklyn Nets, they were, of course, led by Kevin Durant. He was fantastic in this game. 37 points in 38 minutes. He was 15 of 23 from the field, so his typical efficient self. He was 4 of 7 from three, and he had 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and a steal as well. Incredible stuff for KD. And then they also got 22 points from Bruce Brown. He was 7 of 14 from the field, 7 of 9 from the free throw line. He had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 steal. Really solid production for Bruce Brown recently. And then they also got 15 points from Nick Claxton inserted into the starting lineup. He was 7 of 8 from the field in 28 minutes. And he had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. 7 points for the veteran point guard, Goran Dragic. He was 3 of 11 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 7 assists. And Seth Curry, rounding out the starting lineup, just played 12 minutes. He was 0 of 2 from the field in that time. And off the bench for the Nets, they got 13 points from Patty Mills. He was 5 of 11 from the field in 31 minutes. He had 3 threes and 3 rebounds. 9 points for Blake Griffin. He had 4 rebounds and 3 assists. 5 for Kessler Edwards, the rookie. 4 for Cam Thomas, the other rookie. And 2 points for James Johnson in 18 minutes. All right, next up we can move on to Chicago, where the Bulls defeated the Toronto Raptors, 113-99. A solid victory here for the Bulls. They were led by Zach LaVine. He had 26 points, and they also got 26 from DeMar DeRozan, and a big double-double from Nikola Vucevic, 19-13. Whereas the Raptors were led by Pascal Siakam. He had 22 points on 8 of 14 shooting, and then they got 19 points from Fred VanVleet, and 19 points off the bench from Chris Boucher. But this game was a struggle for the Raptors, to say the least. Precious Achiuwa and Scottie Barnes both went 3 of 9 from the field, and then Armani Brooks off the bench was 3 of 7, so the offense was not exactly humming for the Raptors, and Fred VanVleet was perhaps the biggest culprit there. He was 7 of 22 from the field. Overall, as a team, the Raptors just shot 44% from the field, 18% from 3. That was actually the big difference maker, the three-point shooting. The Bulls were 39% from beyond the arc, and they were 48% from the field overall. And then another problem for the Raptors was the turnovers. They had 14, whereas the Bulls just had 6. So all in all, a very clean and efficient game for Chicago, and they were able to take control in the third quarter. They outscored the Raptors 30-18 in the third, so they had a double-digit lead heading into the fourth, which they maintained and actually even expanded upon in that fourth quarter. So it was close up to about midway through the third, but then the Bulls just took over and the Raptors kind of fell apart. So like I said, an encouraging win here for the Bulls, who had been struggling recently, but with this victory, they now improved to 42-29. So that is good for fifth in the Eastern Conference. They are 2 games behind that group of teams in second, third, and fourth, the 76ers, Bucks, and Celtics. And the Bulls are 1.5 games up on the Cleveland Cavaliers in sixth. And they are plus 1.0 in the point differential, which is worse than a couple teams below them. They're just 3-7 in their last 10 games. But hopefully for their sake, they can get back on track here down the stretch as the playoffs approach. And as for the Raptors, this loss takes them to 40-32. So they're still in 7th in the East, but they're just 2 games up now on the Brooklyn Nets in 8th and 1 game behind the Cleveland Cavaliers in 6th. And the Raptors are plus 1.4 in the point differential. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Raps were led, as I mentioned, by Pascal Siakam. He was one of the sole bright spots on the team. He had 22 points in 38 minutes, and he was quite efficient. 8 of 14 from the field, 6 of 8 from the free throw line, although he was 0 of 2 from 3. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 turnovers. He was negative 18 in the plus-minus, which was nearly the team low. So an okay game from Siakam, I guess. The 4 turnovers is a bit disappointing, and 0 steals and blocks, but he at least had 22 efficient points. As for the rest of the starters, they got 19 points from Fred VanVleet, but he was extremely inefficient, 7 of 22 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 steals, though. 11 points for Kim Birch in the starting lineup. In 30 minutes, he was 5 of 9 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists. And then the other 2 starters were both 3 of 9 from the field. The rookie, Scottie Barnes, had 8 points in 35 minutes. He was the team worst, negative 20 in the plus-minus, though. He had 6 rebounds and 5 assists with 2 blocks. And Precious Achiuwa had 6 points and 9 rebounds in 28 minutes. And off the bench for Toronto, they got 19 points and 10 rebounds from Chris Boucher. In 33 minutes, he was 8 of 14 from the field, and he had 1 steal, 2 blocks. So really solid production from Boucher. And then they also got 4 points from Thaddeus Young. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. And 8 points for Armani Brooks, 2 points for Yuta Watanabe, but that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Raptors. Delano Banton and Sfi Mikhailiuk saw the court briefly but did not score. And as for the Bulls, they were led by DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, both of whom had 26 points. LaVine was 9 of 18 from the field, and he had 3 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. He was also the team-high plus 19 in the plus-minus, 0 turnovers. All in all, fantastic game for LaVine. And then 26 points as well for DeRozan. He was extremely efficient, 11 of 14 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. And then the double-double for Nikola Vucevic, 19 points and 13 rebounds. He was 7 of 17 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 7 points for the other two starters. Alex Caruso inserted into the starting lineup. Patrick Williams did make his return, but he was off the bench, and then there's still no Lonzo Ball. So Caruso was in the starting lineup, and he had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and 7 points for Javonte Green in 30 minutes. He was 3 of 5 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds. But off the bench, like I said, Patrick Williams was in the lineup. He had 7 points in 19 minutes, and he was 3 of 8 from the field. They also got 11 points from the rookie Io Desunmu. He was 5 of 9 from the field. He had 6 assists. 3 points for Troy Brown Jr. in just 2 minutes. 4 points for Tristan Thompson in 13 minutes. 1 for Tony Bradley, and 2 for Kobe White, but he was just 1 of 5 from the field. All right, next we can move on to Houston, where the Rockets defeated the Washington Wizards, 115-97. The Rockets were led by Christian Wood, another really solid game. He has been on fire lately. He had 39 points in this game in 36 minutes, and he was incredible. 14 of 18 from the field, 8 of 9 from 3. The offense was just out of this world for Christian Wood. He had 10 rebounds as well. And then they also got 17 points from the rookie point guard Jalen Green, and 15 points for Eric Gordon. Whereas the Wizards were led by their recent acquisition, Kristaps Porzingis. He had a double-double, 22 points and 13 rebounds. And then they also got 13 points from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and 16 points from Rui Hachimura in the starting lineup. Hachimura was inserted into the starting lineup by Wes Unsfeld Jr. as there was no Kyle Kuzma for Washington. And their offense was just a real struggle in this game. They were only 41% from the field, 20% from three. Whereas the Rockets were quite the opposite. They were on fire, especially from three. They were 49% from the field, 51% from three. I always love that when a team shoots better from three than they do from the field overall. The Rockets just could not miss in this game, thanks in large part to those 8 three-pointers from Christian Wood. And then they also got 5 from Eric Gordon. But that being said, they were actually trailing pretty significantly in the second quarter. They had been outscored in the first quarter by the Wizards, 39-26. And then they even expanded upon that lead even further in the second quarter. At one point, about midway through the second, after a dunk from Kristaps Porzingis, it was 54-31. So the Wizards were in control, but from there on out, they kind of just fell apart. The Rockets started to chip away at that lead at the end of the second, but then it was really the third and fourth quarters when the Rockets just took over this game. They outscored Washington 29-20 in the third, and then 35-14 in the fourth. So Washington was just totally lifeless there in the fourth quarter, and the Rockets not only took the lead at the beginning of the fourth, but then they built up a commanding lead. So they went from being down by like 25 midway through the second to up by like 20 points themselves at the end of the fourth quarter. So a totally lackluster performance in the second half by the Wizards. And so with this loss, Washington now falls to 30-41. So they're down in 11th right now in the Eastern Conference. They are tied with the Knicks in 12th, but they do have the edge in the tiebreaker. And then they're 5.5 games up on the Pacers in 13th, and they are 5 games behind the Hawks in 10th. So it's pretty clear at this point that the Wizards and Knicks will be in 11th and 12th in some order by the end of the season. The Wizards are negative 3.3 in the point differential, which is actually third worst in the conference. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. And as for the Rockets, this win takes them to 18-54, so that is still worst in the entire league. They are 2 games behind the Thunder in 14th, and then in terms of the win column, they're 1 behind the Pistons and Magic in the Eastern Conference. So the Rockets still in pole position for that coveted worst record in the NBA so that they can have the best chance at one of those top picks in the draft. They are negative 9.2 in the point differential, which is worst in the entire league. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Wizards were led by Kristaps Porzingis. He had 22 points and 13 rebounds in 32 minutes. He was 7 of 18 from the field, 8 of 8 from the free throw line, and he had 4 assists, 1 steal, and 5 blocks. So despite this disappointing loss, it was a pretty solid game for Porzingis. And then they got 16 points from Rui Hachimura. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 2 threes, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. 13 points for Corey Kispert, the rookie, despite the fact that he was negative 17 in the plus-minus. He was 5 of 9 from the field, and he had 3 three-pointers. And then 13 points as well for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, but he was the team low, negative 21 in the plus-minus. He was 0 of 5 from 3, 6 of 12 from the field, though. And then Raul Neto rounding out the starting lineup. He was ice cold in this game, 1 of 8 from the field. He had 6 points, 4 rebounds, 10 assists, and 2 steals. And off the bench for Washington, they got 8 points from Daniel Gafford, the backup big man. In 14 minutes, he was 3 of 4 from the field. He had 6 rebounds. 7 points for Denny Avdija, but he was also ice cold. In 24 minutes, he was 2 of 8 from the field. He did have 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, though. And then they got 5 points from Ish Smith, 3 from Tomas Satoransky, and 4 from Anthony Gill. And as for the Rockets, they were led by Christian Wood, his best game of the season. He had 39 points, 10 rebounds in 36 minutes. He was incredibly efficient, 14 of 18 from the field, 8 of 9 from 3, and a perfect 3 of 3 from the free throw line. So really just outstanding offensive efficiency for Wood. He had 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block as well. And then they also got 17 points from the rookie point guard Jalen Green. He was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He was plus 28 in the plus minus. That was the team high. 15 points for the veteran shooting guard Eric Gordon. He was 5 of 8 from the field. All of his makes came from beyond the arc. 11 points for Kevin Porter Jr. He was a bit less efficient, 5 of 13 from the field. He had 4 assists and 3 rebounds. And Jayshon Tate rounding out the starting lineup had 7 points, 6 rebounds, or sorry, 6 assists, 8 rebounds, and he was 3 of 10 from the field. And off the bench for the Rockets, they got 8 points from Dennis Schroeder. He had 4 rebounds, 5 assists. 7 points for Alperen Şengün, the rookie big man. He was only 2 of 7 from the field, but he did have 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And then they also got 6 points from Garrison Matthews. He had 2 threes. 5 points from Kenyon Martin Jr. And then Josh Christopher, the other rookie, saw the court briefly, but he did not score. All right, next we can move on to Oklahoma City, where the Thunder were easily defeated by the Boston Celtics, 132-123. The Celtics were, of course, led by Jason Tatum. He had 36 points on a stellar 11 of 19 from the field, 5 of 11 from 3, and 9 of 9 from the free throw line. The offensive efficiency for some of these guys throughout the NBA last night was just off the charts, from Tatum to Wood to Kevin Durant to LeBron James. They also got 25 points from Jaylen Brown and 20 points and 10 rebounds from Grant Williams. Whereas the Thunder were led by Trey Mann, the rookie point guard, in the starting lineup. He had 35 points in 36 minutes. There is still no Josh Giddey for the Thunder, so Mann is really getting a run, and he was just on fire in this game, and he's been scoring abundantly recently. In 36 minutes in this game, he was 13 of 21 from the field, 7 of 12 from 3. And then they also got 31 points from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and 22 and 10 from Darius Bazley, 19 points off the bench from the sophomore Alexei Pokuševski. But this was a comfortable win in the end for the Celtics. They were leading throughout the majority of regulation. They had outscored the Thunder 38-21 in the first, and then they pretty much maintained a significant lead throughout the rest of regulation. In fact, heading into the fourth quarter, they were leading by 24 points. It was 108-84 after Peyton Pritchard closed out the quarter with a 28-foot three-pointer. So it looked like the Celtics were just going to cruise to an easy victory, and they sort of did, but the Thunder did chip away quite significantly at that lead in the fourth quarter. They actually outscored the Celtics 39-24 in the fourth. So they made things interesting late. The Celtics had to kick into gear at the very end of the fourth quarter and stave off the comeback attempt by the Thunder. So it wasn't necessarily the easiest win in the world, but throughout the majority of regulation, they were cruising along, and then they just had to try a little bit at the very end of the fourth quarter. So all in all, it was still a commanding win for the Celtics, despite that late run by the Thunder. And the Celtics shot 51% from the field, 47% from three, so that's really solid. However, the Thunder actually shot better. They were 51% from the field also, but 45% from three, so the three-point shooting was actually pretty impressive for OKC. It was actually the free throws that made all the difference in this game. The Celtics got to the line for 34 attempts. They were 29 of 34 from the line, whereas the Thunder, 10 of 14 from the line. So that was a huge difference. The Celtics nearly tripling the Thunder's free throw attempts, and that allowed them to generate easy offense and in the end get the victory. And so with this win, the Celtics now improved to 45-28. So as we elucidated earlier, they are in fourth, but just behind the Bucks and 76ers in second and third. All three of those teams are 2.5 games behind the Heat in first. So the Celtics could very easily vault themselves all the way up to second and perhaps even first by the end of the season. They are 2 games up on the Bulls in fifth. And the Celtics are plus 6.4 in the point differential. That is best in the Eastern Conference. It's nearly tied with the Utah Jazz for second best in the entire NBA. They're on a 4-game winning streak, and they're 9-1 in their last 10 games. And as for the Thunder, this loss takes them to 20-52. So they are on a 10-game losing streak. They're down in 14th in the Western Conference, 2 games up on the Rockets in last. And then they are, 4.5 games behind the Kings in 13th. And the Thunder are negative 7.9 in the point differential. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Celtics were led, of course, by Jason Tatum. 36 points in 39 minutes. He was 11 of 19 from the field, 5 of 11 from 3, and 9 of 9 from the free throw line. Incredible offense. He had 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block, and he was plus 12 in the plus minus. Actually, the team high in the plus-minus was Grant Williams. He was plus 21 in his 38 minutes in the starting lineup. There was no Robert Williams in this game for the Celtics, so Grant Williams was inserted into the starting lineup. He had 20 points and 10 rebounds. He was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 1 assist and 1 block as well. And then they got 25 points from Jaylen Brown. He was 10 of 19 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. 18 points for Derek White. He was also inserted into the starting lineup, and he was 5 of 10 from the field in 34 minutes. He was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds and 5 assists. He was starting in place of Marcus Smart, who also did not play in this game. And then Al Horford, rounding out the starting lineup, had just 3 points in 34 minutes, but he stuffed the stat sheet otherwise. 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. And then off the bench for the Celtics, with the guys missing, there was just 3 players to see the court. Peyton Pritchard led the way, the sophomore point guard. He had 18 points in 25 minutes. He was 5 of 11 from 3, and he had 3 rebounds and 2 assists. He has really been scoring well over the last couple of weeks. And then they also got 9 points from Daniel Tice, the backup big man. He had 8 rebounds, and 3 points from Sam Hauser in 12 minutes. And as for the Thunder, they were led, as I mentioned, by Trey Mann, the rookie point guard. He was on fire in this game, 35 points in 36 minutes. He was 13 of 21 from the field, 7 of 12 from 3, and he also had 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Really solid production for Mann, and he was actually the only starter to not be negative in the plus-minus. He was neutral. And then they also got 31 points from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He was 13 of 23 from the field. He had 4 three-pointers, 9 assists, 1 rebound. 22 points from Darius Bazley. He had 10 rebounds and 3 assists. He was 8 of 13 from the field. And then 8 points for Aaron Wiggins, the other rookie. In 24 minutes, he was 4 of 6 from the field. And Isaiah Roby, rounding out the starting lineup, did not score at all. He was 0 of 6 from the field. He did have 7 rebounds, though. And off the bench for the Thunder, they got 19 points from Alexei Pokushevsky, the sophomore big man. He was 7 of 13 from the field, and he had 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. And then they got 3 points from Lindy Waters, 3 points from Teo Maladon, and 2 points from Vit Krejci. Waters was 1 of 6 from the field. All right, and finally we can move on to Dallas, where the Mavericks just edged past the Minnesota Timberwolves, 110-108. The Mavericks got back-to-back 3-pointers down the stretch to help secure the victory. It was an exciting finish in Dallas. Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock hit those 2 clutch 3-pointers down the stretch, but the team was actually led in scoring by Dwight Powell, the big man. He had 22 points, and he was perfect, 8 of 8 from the field. And then they also got 20 points off the bench from Spencer Dinwiddie and 18 points in the starting lineup from Bullock. He was 6 of 11 from the 3-point line overall. Luka Doncic was actually really struggling in this game. He had 15 points only on 5 of 17 shooting. Whereas the Timberwolves were led by Karl-Anthony Towns. He had 22 points and 8 rebounds. And then they also got 18 points from D'Angelo Russell and 19 points from Anthony Edwards. But this was a disappointing loss in the end for the Timberwolves, as they are trying to make their way out of the play-in game and into that top 6 in the Western Conference playoff picture, and they would have been tied with the Denver Nuggets at 16 games behind the Suns if they would have won this game, but they did not, so they are half a game behind the Nuggets. And it's also disappointing because they were trailing pretty significantly throughout portions of this game, specifically in the third quarter. They were down after an alley-oop from Dwight Powell. They were down by 16 points. It was 70-54. That was with 8:51 left on the clock in the third. So the Mavericks were in control of this game at that point in the third quarter, but then the Timberwolves did make a rousing comeback. They started to chip away at the lead in the third quarter, and then in the fourth, they outscored the Mavs 27-24. So they were in contention down the stretch. To be sure, there was a driving dunk from Karl Anthony Towns with a minute to go that cut the deficit to two. It was 105-107. So the Timberwolves nearly making a comeback and getting this much needed win, but they just fell short thanks to those three pointers down the stretch from Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock. So with this victory, the Mavericks now improve to 44-28. So they are in fifth still in the West, but they're just one game behind the Utah Jazz in fourth. And then they're now two games up on the Denver Nuggets in sixth. And the Mavs are plus 2.5 in the point differential. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Timberwolves, this loss takes them to 42-31. So they are still 8-2 in their last 10 games. But like I said, they're now half a game behind the Denver Nuggets in sixth. This was a real missed opportunity for Minnesota. And then they're six games up on the Clippers in eighth. They are plus 3.4 in the point differential, though. That's actually better than the Nuggets and Mavericks ahead of them. So the Timberwolves could still make their way into that top six by the end of the season. But like I said, this was just a missed opportunity. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Wolves were led by Karl Anthony Towns. He had 22 points in 38 minutes. He was 8 of 17 from the field. He had 2 threes, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So solid production throughout the box score for Towns. He was plus 11 in the plus-minus. That was actually the only positive plus-minus in the starting lineup. And then they got 19 points from the sophomore, Anthony Edwards. He was 5 of 13 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 assists, and 6 rebounds. 18 points for D'Angelo Russell. He was 6 of 16 from the field. He had 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. 8 points for Patrick Beverley, the veteran point guard. He was not very efficient in this game, 2 of 10 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block, but he was 3 of 8 from the free throw line. And then 4 points for Jared Vanderbilt, rounding out the starting lineup. He had 8 rebounds. And off the bench for Minnesota, they got 17 points from Torian Prince. In 23 minutes, he was 6 of 16 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 1 block. 7 points for Malik Beasley in 27 minutes. He had 1 three-pointer, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. 6 points for Jalen Noel in 14 minutes. 5 for Naz Reid, the backup big man. And 2 points for Jordan McLaughlin. And as for the Mavericks, they were led, as I mentioned, by Dwight Powell in the starting lineup, the big man. He was 8 of 8 from the field in 27 minutes for 22 points. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. And then they also got 18 points from Reggie Bullock, including that clutch 3-pointer late. He was on fire in this game, 6 of 11 from the 3-point line. And he had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And then they got 15 points from the other three starters, Dorian Finney-Smith, Jalen Brunson, and Luka Doncic. Doncic was not very efficient, 5 of 17 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 10 assists, 1 steal. 15 for Jalen Brunson, he was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 3 rebounds. He was plus 18 in the plus-minus Brunson. He was a team high in that regard. And then DFS, Dorian Finney-Smith, rounding out the starting lineup, was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 7 rebounds and 4 assists. And off the bench for the Mavericks, they got 20 points from Spencer Dinwiddie. His hot streak continues now with the Mavericks. He was 7 of 12 from the field in 28 minutes. He had 8 rebounds, 3 assists. 3 points for Maxi Kleba, but he was ice cold, 1 of 9 from the field in 24 minutes. 2 points for Josh Green, but he was also ice cold, 1 of 5 from the field. And then Frank Ntilikina saw the court briefly, but did not score. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And we had a couple of incredible options, quite frankly, to choose from for standout line. Ultimately, I think we're just going to give the edge to LeBron James because his line was just unimpeachable. But, I mean, just to run through some of the options, Christian Wood had 39 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He was 14 of 18 from the field and 8 of 9 from 3. On any other night, that would have easily been standout line of the night. Then you also had a huge double-double from Jonas Valanciunas, 24 and 18. You got 36 from Jason Tatum on 11 of 19 shooting. 22 points and 13 rebounds with 5 blocks from Kristaps Porzingis. 37 points from Kevin Durant on 15 of 23 shooting, and he had 9 rebounds and 8 assists. And then the huge double-double from Darius Garland, 29 points, 17 assists. And then 35 points from Trey Mann, 26 from DeMar DeRozan on 11 of 14 shooting. So insane offense throughout the league last night. But ultimately, LeBron was just the best of all. He had 38 points on 17 of 29 shooting. That is just insane efficiency. And he also had the triple-double, 11 rebounds, 12 assists, one steal, one block. He was perfect 4-4 from the free throw line. Now, he didn't have any three-pointers, and he did have three turnovers. But those were the only knocks against him. Otherwise, just fantastic production. A triple-double with 38 points on 17 of 29 shooting is just remarkable. So LeBron James is your standout line of the night on a night when you really could have gone with like five other guys. And then for a surprising line of the night, we're going to go with the aforementioned Trey Mann of the Oklahoma City Thunder, the rookie point guard. He has just been on fire lately, and that was on full display in this game. He had 35 points in the starting lineup. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists. He was 13 of 21 from the field. Like I said, there is no Josh Giddey in the lineup right now for the Thunder, and so Mann has been getting the opportunity to start alongside Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and he's just been remarkable. The Thunder have to be feeling good about their backcourt rotation of the future with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Josh Giddey, and Trey Mann. They have just been a dynamic trio this season despite the Thunder's overall struggles. So anyways, Mann is your surprising line of the night, and LeBron James is your standout line of the night. All right, and so with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Tuesday, March the 22nd, and we've just got four games on in the NBA today. Starting off in Orlando, the Magic are taking on the Golden State Warriors, and the Warriors are -7. In New York, the Knicks are taking on the Atlanta Hawks, and the Hawks are -3.5. In Milwaukee, the Bucks face the Chicago Bulls, and the Bucks are -7. And finally, in Denver, the Nuggets are taking on the LA Clippers, and the Nuggets are -7. All right, so a couple of intriguing lines here. I'm a bit surprised to see the Clippers +7 in Denver. That line just seemed a little bit too high. The Clippers haven't been playing that well recently. They're 4-6 in their last 10, and they're on a 3-game losing streak. But the Nuggets themselves are on a 2-game losing streak. So I don't know. I just feel like that's a bit too high for me. But that being said, they should have by far the best player in the game in Nikola Jokic. He is absolutely having another MVP caliber season to follow up his MVP from last year. So I think I'm going to ultimately stay away from that one, but I was just a bit surprised to see that line as high as it was. I was also a little bit surprised that the Warriors weren't more heavily favored in Orlando. The Magic have been pretty solid recently. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games, which for them is actually pretty decent, whereas the Warriors are 4-6 in their last 10 as well, and they're on a 2-game losing streak. But with all that being said, I mean, it is the Warriors in Orlando, so I just would have expected it to be like -8 or -9. I think I'm ultimately going to stay away from that one as well, though, just because, I don't know, I could see it either being a blowout or a close game. I think the Magic could be frisky in that one, or they'll just get totally blown out. So I'm going to stay away from that one as well. We just got one best bet for today. It's going to be the Atlanta Hawks -3.5 in New York. Obviously, recent history coming into play here with the Hawks having defeated the Knicks in the first round of the playoffs last year. And because of that, I think both teams will be up for this game. The Knicks have been okay recently. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games, whereas the Hawks, they're 6-4 in their last 10, but they lost their last game. So I don't have a ton of faith in the Hawks necessarily to like dominate this game, because like I said, I think the Knicks will be up for it. But I think the Hawks ultimately win this one, and I think they can cover that 3.5 line. I think it's small enough that they should be able to cover that. They have a bit more of an incentive to win this one because they are trying to overtake the Hornets for that 9th seed despite their loss to the Hornets the other day. So that's going to be our only best bet for today. I don't feel great about it, but we're just going to go with that one. The Hawks -3.5 in New York. And so with that, we are done. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all four of those games and to preview the action for Wednesday, March the 23rd. So until then, thanks for tuning in.